You are listening to Engaging and Exciting Conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Radiant Culture Podcast. This is your host, Cookie Monster. I'm back again. And I'm joined today by three other gentlemen. So it's all boys today. All men. I don't know what to call it. But we have someone very special in the house today. Actually, this is one of our peoples who's been gallivanting. Okay, maybe not gallivanting, but who decided to relocate and live elsewhere on another continent. But he's with us today. So we're very honored to have the Biscuit in the house. What's up, Biscuit?
How's it going? I'm good.
Yeah.
Glad to be back. Landed in the motherland.
In the motherland.
This landed week, to wide roads.
To wide roads. We've got a lot going on.
Yeah,
in this my Zimbabwe.
We're not playing Zimbabwe.
Harare.
We're not playing games, man.
No, not at all. Not at all.
We've got grocery stores.
Oh snap.
Yeah.
Did you just do that?
You can even find Allegan. So what was it? On the shelves in the grocery stores.
It was a wild. But yeah, Biscuit, good to have you.
Good to be
in the house, man.
Good to be here.
Then we have Mr. Kent in the house.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I'm becoming a regular.
I can see this.
From producer to...
We like it. And then, of course, we have Romeo, the meat monster. You thought I was going to forget that, huh?
Yeah. That's not my name. Meat monster.
I don't forget, bro. So today we're going to be talking about something that's been causing a bit of a buzz in the atmosphere. This has actually been causing quite a buzz. We're talking about Maverick City. Maverick City and Kirk Franklin. For those of you who don't know, there's a whole kingdom tour happening and they're going to multiple countries. So one of the countries that they're performing in is Zim. Mm-hmm. And over the last few weeks, there's just been a lot of talk about this thing and the concert itself. And then, of course, Maverick City and Kirk Franklin and stuff. People have been divided over this. Should they come into the country? Should they not? Is it good? Then, of course, you've got your conspiracy theorists on one end who are like, no, these owns are going to be, you know, all of that stuff. Then on another side, you've got people who are like, no, man, this is all about God. Just let them come. Some people are like, no, if they're really that messed up, we should still welcome them. We're Christians. You know, I've seen all kinds of views. So we're going to talk about that and maybe just give a bit of a history about it for those of you who don't really know, and then we'll get into it. So, yeah, gentlemen. Yeah, so I think the first thing that I want to just... We did an episode several episodes ago.
Yes.
Where we spoke about...
That was exactly a year and a half ago.
Yes. Good, man. You know your stuff. So you're the producer. So
it was sparked by the Travis Greene...
Of course. Yeah.
Another American artist.
So we're basically wanting to unpack this, right, and talk about it to say, okay, what's the history? Where did this whole thing start? Where did the conversation start?
I think the conversation started. I think at first people were excited when it was announced because it's such. In Zim, we don't get a lot of, no disrespect to artists that have sort of gone past their, you know, their spotlight prime.
Mm-hmm.
But we get a lot of artists who have been, for lack of a better word, has-beens,
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm,
generally come to perform. You know, your Nicole C. Mullins, they'll come when they're
sure.
Kind of way past their prime.
Mm.
Damn.
So
I didn't think we were going to mention names, but anyway.
No, it's not a bad thing, but I'm saying, you know, you don't usually get artists like at their peak of their career coming through this side for live performances.
Good point, that.
So when Maverick was announced, I mean, they're like quite fresh. They're like at the top right now in Christian music circles. So that was quite exciting for a lot of people. And a lot of people were saying, yeah, you're going to get tickets and whatever. And then all these things started coming through. I think it's social media where people are coming across different videos that were now exposing things about these artists that are coming on tour.
Yeah.
And this just started, you know, conversations and people becoming skeptical and like, ah, these people are really Christians, and people digging deep into it. And then those conversations then led to certain artists who were meant to perform or be part of the Zimbabwe leg of the tour pulling out. And that just sparked like even deeper scrutiny towards what's this Kingdom World Tour about? What do these artists represent? And in the BET performance and the...
Ooh, yeah, we're going to talk about
that. Yeah. That just didn't help them at all.
I'd say that because I experienced this all out of the country.
Yeah.
So everything that was happening on all the local social media, I was not privy to.
Yeah.
What made noise enough to reach my end was that BET performance.
Yeah.
That is when it looked like suddenly there was an issue. Prior to that, I mean, I heard, I knew people were buying tickets, people were eager, were excited. Yeah. BET happens, suddenly people are questioning and pulling out. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
I don't know on the ground, but that's what it looked like.
Yeah. So I think it was a combination of factors.
Of a number of things, yeah.
So like Mr. Kentia mentioned that we had some of the renowned local artists like TK, TK Zama.
Yeah.
He is obviously one of the most followed artists.
Yeah.
And people were quite pumped when they saw that he was one of the performers. Then a few days later, he just made a statement on his social media platforms to say he's no longer going to be taking part in it because of unforeseen circumstances or something like that. And then he pulled out. So obviously, and then this is on the back of, I think there have been... Apparently, there's these TikTok prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know one particular lady. I don't know what her name is. She's kind of creepy, to be honest. I don't understand her. And so I think she's been talking a lot about these things. And I think she was saying something to the tune of, those of you who attend the concert, you're going to be cursed and you're going to be initiated into all kinds of things. Now, of course, you know, things like that do raise eyebrows. And people are like, okay. And I don't think... some of the behavior, let me say, of the Maverick City members, maybe some of them, helps. Then, of course, the Kingdom World Tour is with Kirk Franklin.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel as if he's also been probably the most problematic piece for a lot of people there because, you know, he's just, some of the stuff that he's been doing, I think, is a bit questionable. And some of his utterances. So I think all those things, then it just snowballed.
Yeah.
And so people now started connecting dots to say, you know, is this really safe? So I think that's how we got to where we are. Our episode, the one that I was referring to, is the one where we spoke about Christian celebrities.
Celebrities,
to say, should we have Christian celebrities? Yeah. And I think we can safely say Maverick City are celebrities in the Christian space. So... Yeah, so I don't know what you guys think, man. In fact, for starters, are you guys going?
My wife wants to go.
Okay. Yeah, I think...
I generally wasn't moved to go, even before the controversy.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because, I mean, I love some of their songs. Like, Jaire, for me, has been a very, very powerful song for me in certain moments. I like their music, but... I tried streaming some of their albums and I just couldn't connect. I don't know why. It's just a personal thing. So I was never really like, that was the reason why I never understood why. Like everyone loves these guys, but I just don't connect to a lot of their music. Just the one or two songs that I'm like, oh, this is, but generally listening to it, I'm like, not connecting to this music. So I was never really excited to go. Not that they're bad or whatever. I just couldn't connect to the music, and then now this comes out. I'm like, I wonder why.
Maybe you're a prophet.
But but personally, if my wife wants to go, I have to go with it.
Of course. Sababa Vemba, so you know, you have to. Romeo, you've been awfully quiet.
Yeah.
No, I'm
he's
just
in the concert.
He's already there.
Oh, you're already there.
I'm just like, I'm
front row.
I'm like, should I be saying anything? And no, So to be honest, I'm on the other side of the spectrum now. I knew of Maverick City. Mm-hmm. I knew of their song. I just never put them together, you know, as compared to now to Kirk Franklin. Because Kirk Franklin used to make bangers back in the day. Mm-hmm. And as an ex-dancer, we used to use a lot of his songs.
Yeah.
You see, so...
just for some background, Romeo is used to be an award-winning dancer.
Dancer. Right? With Rolex.
With Rolex. Award-winning.
Yes. Yeah. He used to pop and look.
Yeah.
Pop, and now...
Pop and
international.
Lock. Yeah. International.
Yeah. Touring countries.
Mm-hmm.
In
mm-hmm.
Africa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And beyond.
And beyond.
You do realize that you guys say this every episode. I think people now sort of know. Okay.
Anyway, as you were.
So... No, so going, am I going? No, I'm not, because I didn't feel the pull factor. But, yeah, I guess for other reasons, which will then come out as we continue this discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that you're here.
Now that I'm here.
You're going?
Well, you see, I'm pretty much in the same camp as Romeo. In your camp as well, Mr. Kent. These people are not on my playlist, generally speaking.
Yeah.
I couldn't point at anyone from Maverick City. Yeah. I don't know their songs. I know I've heard them, but I don't know them. I'm not looking for them.
Yeah.
They're not part of what I listen to in general. No. So I'm neither here nor there.
Mm.
And when I heard about the concert, it was just, there's some international artists called XYZ, I didn't know about Kirk at that time, who are coming to perform. This would be a great concert. And my wife wanted her mom and maybe my mom and other family members to just go, just as a nice thing for all of us to go and do and go check out this concert, because we figured it would be here in Zim at this time. And that was the basis for me going. That, okay, not that I would have looked. If you had said the truth was coming, I would be going to his concert.
Right.
I would have looked for those tickets. I would have been there.
Yeah.
But this is like, I'll go. They're here. But like you, seeing all this controversy has made me look further. Now, in terms of Kirk Franklin, I was not dancing to him, neither then or now. I still can't. I don't have that skill set. But what I will say is that when I was coming into the whole Pentecostal side of things, people like Kirk were at the forefront in terms of the music that I heard, that I could actually engage with and appreciate.
Yeah. Mm.
And I fondly remember so many events and movements and things that had his music that really ministered and brought people to Christ. So that is my background. And as I'm sure Mr. Kent would know, my playlist is usually at least 10 to 15 years behind. So I repeat music a lot. So if you say, what's your favorite Kirk Franklin song right now? I'll tell you, I loved his album, Fight of My Life, whatever.
Fight of My Life,
I don't know what he's done since then. How far back
that's like 15 years.
Yes, that's how far back I will be. Because if I love it, I will play it over and over and over again and just stick with that before I move on to new content.
Yeah.
So, will I go? If my wife says, let's go, I'll go. But to say that I was gearing for the concert per se, no, not really. That was easy.
Yeah.
What about you, Mr. Monster?
Mr. Monster. Answer is no. But, and the reason also for me is that with Maverick, I think the thing is, I too really liked, I think their first, I feel like when they first entered the scene.
Yeah.
Gyra, and one of the songs Miracles. That I really liked was that Miracles, Promises.
Promises.
What's that song? That Man of Your Word.
Man of Your Word.
I thought that was pretty different. Maybe also because I'm a musician, I kind of liked the vibe that they had there. And I felt as if they were bringing something different. Just the sound they had, the setup that they had. It wasn't your typical, you know, Hillsong-y kind of stuff that we've all become so accustomed to. So I felt as if they had this ability to reach especially a generation, a younger generation.
Yes, yeah.
And their sound was really just different. But I felt as if they had struck something there.
Yeah.
But I think, as with all things, the challenge is the temptation that comes with popularity. I think, you know, because now they've been doing a lot of amazing stuff. They've gained a lot of traction. They are well known all over. They're probably the most popular Christian group right now. And so with that also, you know, it comes a lot of other issues. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Grammys and BETs, yeah, they're now playing with the who's who's, are really at the top of their game. And my thing with that now is that I don't know the extent to which a Christian can operate in those circles at that level without being compromised, or without them starting to compromise in some of their Christian values. And just as a backdrop, I also have some friends who live in the States who are part of, you know, they're part of the arts, the whole art scene and stuff in the States. And many of them, actually, I've got a friend who is very well connected in the music space in the States, who also just said to me, dude, those ones, nah. Especially after that whole Dante Bo thing happened.
Yes.
Which already, even though they then distanced themselves from Dante Bo, but if you follow the threads, you then start to see that, there seems to have been this, there's a consistent thing that you find with them, where there's either it's controversial things that are happening or certain associations that are questionable, where you think, but guys, is this the wisest association that you can have, especially with the sort of influence that you have, especially with the level at which you're operating.
Yeah.
So I think, so for me, those are the things that I looked at and I was like, I don't understand. A lot of people obviously listened to Maverick City during the lockdown. That's where.
Yes.
So yeah, you get a lot of people say during lockdown, their music carried me through. And I respect that, no doubt. And I'm sure God will use anyone. God will use, you know, I'm sure God used them to help a lot of people.
Yeah.
But we also need to make a distinction between someone's music influencing you and helping you.
Yes.
And their lifestyle.
Yes.
And you know what I'm trying to say? Now, of course, you know, we don't have access to people's hearts, so we don't know what's in their hearts. Only God has access to people's hearts. But sometimes you look at conduct, you look at reputation, you look at certain things that you're like, is this the sort of thing that you as a Christian leader operating at that level should be doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
So about that, I think, especially Uncle Kirk, man. Yeah,
he's been the main,
main
subject in this whole saga.
I'll be honest, initially, I was defending him, initially.
Yeah.
Even way before Maverick City came to, because I love, you know, as a musician, Kirk Franklin is extremely gifted.
Yeah, very talented.
Great songwriter, great arranger. Mm-hmm. He's written a lot of the songs that are performed, even though he himself is not a singer.
Yeah.
But he's just phenomenal. You know, keys.
Yes.
Like, the guy is deep. He knows his stuff, right? And so part of me was just like, no, man. I think of songs like Jesus, You're My Everything.
Yeah.
Jesus, You're My Everything.
Yeah.
I love that song. And so many other songs, My Life Is In Your Hands.
Yeah.
Those are songs that were anchor songs for a lot of us, right?
Yes.
But then now when you start to see some of the stuff that he's been doing, that recent concert he did in Jamaica where he's like, he's like gyrating and he's wearing these batty shorts and then some other stuff that I think we've all seen on social media. Then the other thing is that show of his, him and his wife, I don't know if you guys know about it, the dating thing does, where they get singles to live, they're living together in the same house and... Yeah, so I think it's been a combination of things that you now start to ask yourself, but is this the sort of thing that we want a Christian leader? Somebody who's representing Christianity at such a high level, is that the sort of thing that, are they being a good ambassador of what the gospel is? Those are the things that I personally look at. So I don't know, what do you guys think? I know you've seen some of these Kirk Franklin Adams.
I haven't seen much. Only because of this controversy have I looked any up, even today, saw some new stuff. and yes, his conduct is not becoming of somebody who is representing the faith. Yeah, let me say that. I can't say he's representing a specific church or anything. I don't know that. Mm-hmm. But it's not becoming of that. And I would then also go on to say, without knowing what he was performing in each instance. You know, when you're looking at something on the internet, it's no longer in the context of when it occurred. Mm-hmm. So I don't know when what he was saying when he was on stage in Jamaica. I just saw what he was doing.
Mm.
So I could assume that the words in the lyrics probably had little to do with his gyration.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be problematic. That's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. There's a mismatch between what you are portraying and what you are saying. Yeah. And that can confuse believers, and that's an issue. That's a big problem. So I get people being very upset with a leader who is living a different life to what he is saying, coming and speaking to a large group of people. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that in mind, I don't know what he's planning on performing or what he was going to be doing. Has he changed from when he did those things? Because some of the footage I looked at looked old. Is he still actively to this day doing all that stuff? I don't know.
I think for Kirk, it's been
progressing.
I wouldn't say progressing, but it's been incident after incident after incident. So these are not in isolation. It's a collection of.
So based on that,
so it's interviews and things that he says instead of.
I saw the Shea room whatever interview. That was interesting.
Exactly. Oh. And then you get these clips of different concerts and different things where he's gyrating.
How do you just say all the songs, all the popular songs that you know were written butt naked?
Yes. Yeah.
Butt naked. Right.
It's also irresponsible.
I'm like, okay, dude, what are you? I don't know. Maybe it was meant to be humorous. Maybe it was meant to not be that deep. But in my mind, I'm thinking, again, as a Christian leader, here's how I'm looking at it. I'm saying, unless we're saying that as if you're a Christian artist, you're just an artist. That's all you are. We're supposed to treat you like any other artist.
Yeah.
But then I don't know if that's what it's like for Christians. I don't know if it's supposed to be like that. And maybe we can talk a bit about that to say, is a Christian artist just like any other artist who just happened, but they just happen to be singing about God and that we should then treat them as such?
I heard that argument when this started coming up, that was in discussion.
Yeah.
And so I had, you know, discussions happen online and then you take them into your living room and then you're now having your own conversations with your wife and so on. But I landed on this position, at least personally, that there is everything you do is ministry.
Yes.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if you're a barber and you're a Christian, that is where you're ministering. That is what you're doing there and then. So even more so for people who literally profess to speak the word, to profess the gospel. So, I don't think there is a Christian artist who is not a minister at the same time. And therefore, they're responsible for what they say and how they say it and when they say it, all of that.
Yeah.
They will be judged according to those things.
Those things, yeah.
And even for the people that they're going to lead to or astray from God based on that. They can't just say, Lord, I was just singing lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They can't do that. They'll be asked, no, those lyrics were meant to do something.
Yeah.
And they're charged on that. So, I can't separate the two, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think having that as a baseline understanding to say there's a difference between Chris Brown, who's just out there being breezy.
Yeah.
Because we know what to expect from Chris Brown. We know Chris Brown is going to do his thing, probably going to bring some chicks on stage.
Yeah.
Because it's Chris Brown.
Yeah.
But I think it's very different from I'm going to just use some names of artists that we know. Janet Manure, for example.
Yeah.
If you went to a function and you saw Janet dressed inappropriately or doing something that is unbecoming of a Christian, you'd be like, no, but she's a Christian artist because we expect something better from her. If you saw, name a local Christian artist that you can think of. Timbalami or yeah. right, I'm just using some local guys. Yeah. Or even if you look at on the international scene, all I'm just saying is that there's a certain expectation that we have because we're thinking these guys sing music that represents God, that worships God. And so we expect their conduct to be consistent with that. Yeah. So now when you start seeing certain things that are not consistent with that, then you start thinking, wait, is there a separation between what you sing and how you live?
And how you live.
Yeah. And that ought not to be so.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with Tino in the sense that you can't really separate the two. In the sense that, you know, in the Bible, it talks about, in Ephesians, is it Ephesians? Where he talks about the fivefold ministry, that he gave some to be pastors, whatever, whatever. And the reason why he gave those gifts is for the equipping of the church.
Right.
So the church, it's not about just the elders or those people that are leading. They are leading. They've been given gifts to lead people, to equip them for the work, for ministry work. So when, even if we say the argument has been, those guys are not pastors, they're not church leaders, they're not whatnot, but they've been equipped to do work, to do ministry, right? So we have to judge them according to that. And, you know, in the Bible, Jesus talks about you will know them by their fruit. So now, exactly what you're saying, Cookie, if the character is not consistent with the faith and the virtues of the faith, then we begin to question and say, what kind of fruit is this?
Right.
Is this the fruit of the Spirit?
Yeah, I will say that, not even using those verses, but where what comes to mind, I don't know the specific verse, but about how if it might be healthy for you, but if it's going to lead your brother astray, they're in a different position to you, level to you, don't eat that. Don't do that, but you know it's okay. So no matter how much Kirk may have reached a transcendent level where music comes out best when he's touching the wood of the seats and whatever, if that is, he's reached that level, okay, that's him. But is it helping his fellow brother and sister get any closer to God? Is it? Will they understand, or will it make them question the very lyrics in his song? Is it going to cause that?
Yeah.
And if he knows it could cause that, it would have been better for him to keep that to himself. Similarly, being on stage and whining, maybe he's whining for God. I mean, I don't know. But if it's going to cause... I don't know what he's... I'm just saying, trying to be in his shoes and understand. But if it's going to make me now say, double check his lyrics, double check his intent, then he's... It can't be good. Mm-hmm. It can't be right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's just go to the Bible really quickly.
Yeah.
I'm in First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. I'll start from verse 19. It says, "Do not quench the spirit. Mm-hmm. Do not despise prophecies. Mm-hmm. Test all things.
Yeah.
Hold fast to what is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then it says, abstain from every form of evil.
Yeah.
Another version says, avoid even the appearance of evil. You see what I'm trying to say?
Even the appearance.
Yes. So for me now, it's like, again, what is the responsible thing for a Christian artist to do? Is the responsible thing for you to just come out expressing yourself however you want? I lead worship.
Yeah.
And there's certain things that I can do on stage because I like to dance a certain way.
Yeah.
But then there's certain things I can't do because when I'm up there, I'm not just representing myself, right? And so I have to carry myself in a manner that is worthy.
Yeah.
I have to carry myself in a way that doesn't bring the attention to myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that after people have left the service, they shouldn't leave thinking, they should leave thinking, God. Right?
Exactly. That was a powerful
worship. Yes. So now I'm thinking, guys, is it proper for a Christian artist? This applies to both men and women. And of course, I know we're talking about Kirk Franklin, but I think it cuts across the board to say how you dress, right? How you present yourself, yeah. how you dance, yeah. how you talk, even your private life, right? Your family life, all those things then come into question because the Bible says they should. The Bible says that those who desire to preach,
mm-hmm.
it says that. Mm-hmm. It says that those who desire to preach are going to be judged more harshly.
More harsh. Yeah.
Why is that? Why is the Bible saying that? It's because the words that are coming out of their mouth have the ability to build or tear someone down.
Yeah.
They could literally lead someone to hell.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think similarly, when you're up there writing songs mm-hmm. and singing these songs, mm-hmm. it's a form of a pulpit, if you know what I'm saying.
It is a pulpit.
It is a pulpit. In my,
right.
my opinion, it is a pulpit.
So have you thought about how massive a responsibility that is? Have you thought about the people who are listening? Have you thought about how you're impacting them? Are you bringing them closer to God?
Yeah.
Or you see what I'm saying? So when I look at that, then I look at some of these things, I'm just like, there's a bit of a disconnect.
Can I be an opposing advocate
to
that? I would venture to think some of them actually think they're doing exactly what you're saying. They are thinking of the people they're trying to reach. And they're saying, I need to look like them in order to reach them. I need to move like them in order for them to listen to me.
Be all things to all men.
Yes. They will use that same language.
So should I be a hoe to reach the hoe?
Exactly. Or who's that?
Excuse my French.
There's a well-known...
I'm not even going to edit.
The well-known preacher. You know the guy. Uh-huh. I see him a lot on Instagram. He wears glasses. What's his name? Something the gram. What? Some
upset the gram.
Upset the gram.
Yeah.
Right. Name, now
I'm forgetting his name.
Yeah.
It's just gone.
I like him sometimes.
I
like him sometimes. I got onto him and I was like, hey, this is great. This is great. Then there's sometimes when he said things, I'm like,
what?
Yeah. And his position is more like, look, I need to talk hood because I'm talking to the hood or whatever. He's
the dude who was talking about Jesus being a stripper.
Yeah.
Was it?
That's where you lost me.
That's
there.
Him. Yeah, yeah. That's him.
Wow.
So he's saying to reach particular people, I will speak the language they speak, talk to them in the way they understand, to minister to them. That's his whole position. What he's saying, if you dig into it, is very, very powerful. I agree with a lot of his core message.
Tim Roth.
Yeah. Tim Roth. Yes. Yeah.
That's but his delivery is the antithesis of what you're saying. Where he's like, no, I'm not going to look all polished and clean and nice. If I need to say this to reach that person, I'm going to say it. But ignoring what the Christians, the clean Christians, might want to say about it. If I need to say word to reach you, I will.
Okay.
Let me do that. So that's the opposing argument, I'd say.
Fair enough. Like I can understand the being all things to all men mm-hmm. argument. I can get that. But then where do we draw the line?
Yeah.
You see what I'm... Because the Bible also clearly says that do not love the world or anything mm-hmm. in the world. Mm-hmm. Right? The Bible... Are we now... Where do we now run the risk of starting to love the world or wanting
to look like? I think that scripture, if not taken in context and also seen, can just be used as an excuse for a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I think from Paul's perspective, he's talking about be all things to all men, being like to the Jews, I became a Jew. So in addressing
them,
I can win them. So I address them from a Jewish perspective, a Jewish culture perspective, and I use analogies and symbolisms that they understand. And then to the Gentile, I become a Gentile. And then a good example is when he was in Athens. He started talking about, I see you've got a thing of an unknown God. Yeah. I am going to tell you about this unknown God. It's not that he started worshiping the gods and the idols that were there. No. But he was using things that those people understand.
Yeah, but the Jamaicans understood the dancing and the gyrating that Kirk was doing.
In the comments, they were complaining. Yeah, exactly. If you go to the YouTube clip,
what I'm saying is
the Jamaicans were complaining.
If Paul had gone to that statue and bowed down and done some ritual and then start talking about, that would have been wrong. But he uses symbols that they understand, but he's not conforming, like Kuda said, conforming to that culture. I think that's where we draw the line. You shouldn't be then saying, I want to reach the prostitutes, so I'm going to go and sleep with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's not ministry.
That'll be radical. That's an interesting way of...
you ministered to the Adam after the session.
Yeah. That would be interesting conversation.
But I hear what you're saying, Biscuit, that... We've done youth ministry, and that to reach young people, you have to speak their language.
Yeah.
Often you have to come dressed down and speak in a way that they can relate to.
Yeah.
But there's an end goal.
There's an end goal.
A very specifically defined end goal, which is that.
And even in that, in your dressing down, you're still going to keep your Christian virtues. You're still going to be modest. You're not going to go in shirtless and
exactly. So if that goal is defined, which is that this is what we want to win these kids over.
Yeah.
When I look at, I'm going to bring it back to Kirk again. When I look at Kirk doing his thing on stage, I don't know if it inspires that in me.
Yeah.
Or maybe I've become a Pharisee. I'm now a bit of a Pharisee because I've been a Christian for such a long time.
Yeah.
God forbid. But I'm saying, I look at that and I think, do I want my child to be seeing that? Do I want my little sister or my little brother to look at that and be like, hey, that's an example of somebody who's representing our Father in heaven.
Yeah.
Even though it might look like, ah, dude, it's nothing. I don't know. So that's why I was saying, it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. And many other people confirmed the same thing. Then I'm like, okay, at least I'm not on my own. Or maybe we're all Pharisees.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask an alternate question. I know this tour is off. I looked online and it's based off some album that they've done. But let's say he had come to do all his OG old school songs. None of the new stuff.
Uh-huh.
Do we let... his stage performance slide for the power of the words?
That's a good question.
Pastor Romeo?
Mm. I'm trying to figure out. So I want to answer your question.
Let me add a little bit more to that. Yeah. I remember there was a controversy that Kirk had not too long ago where I think a recording of him and his son or something
when he was cussing his son. About that.
Now, he was just living, being a person.
Yeah.
Fallen, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's a person. I don't know if he tripped in that moment or he always talks like that. I don't know. But did that discount all of his music?
Not really.
What? So in the same vein, the performance and the music... It's just a question. I'm not saying that I'm on that team, but it's just I know these are the arguments that people have.
While Romeo is thinking, I'm going to just try and also chime in on that one. So I think people were forgiving to a degree of that thing that happened with his son, because I think the son had been disrespectful and words were used and stuff. Listen, people slip up.
Yeah,
it happens. People, even Christians, cuss and stuff. So that happens. But again, like what Mr. Kent was saying, that it's the consistency of it, where you start to think, okay, we understand if you have a slip up, right? And you throw a couple of F-bombs here.
Yeah.
We understand if maybe you get up on stage and, you know, maybe in a moment of excitement, you wiggle a bit. Yeah. We get it, right? But then when it's just like one thing after the other. And then I think the one thing that then got me was when he was like, I couldn't care less what the Christian community thinks. It's on there. I couldn't care. And I think that was referring to his show. I think that show of his that I'm talking about. And stuff. Then I'm like, bruv, I don't know, man. I don't know if you are really portraying the... Or you're displaying the fruit that the Bible talks about. The fruit of somebody who's walking with God.
Mm. Yeah.
And so we have to ask the question, are you actually still walking with God?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I know in many circles we'd be like, you're judging. But the Bible says judgment must begin in the house of God.
Yeah.
Just like if you see me behaving a certain way, you have the right to call my pastor and be like, hey, one of your worship leaders, one of the leaders in your church, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So similarly, we should be able to look and say, no, homeboy, this fruit is not what we're expecting of somebody who's walking who's walking with God. So let's bring it into question. So now you're doing a world tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What exactly are you going to be
exactly
doing? Anyway.
Yeah.
So I guess the background I wanted to sort of give is, so you asked the issue of fame and being a Christian and being a celebrity and all that. One thing I've picked up, or at least back then as a performing artist, is the fame will get to you.
Yeah.
That's no mistake. I mean, 50,000 people chanting your name, it's going to get to you. And look, I'm not saying it's gotten to, but it looks like the signs are there. And but one thing I kept, like, I remember, I think it should have been Tedashi or KB or backstage, and then he's just like, guys, one thing you must remember is you must be above reproach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, I remember that scripture because that was meant for elders and pastors.
Yeah,
you know, it must be above reproach. It's like, because you are speaking to all those people.
Mm.
You know, you are giving them direction and meaning. And if what you're doing in the background is not reflective of that, then it's, I don't know what it is we're doing. So with that, Kirk Franklin and, you know, and team, you know, I believe the music they make is gospel music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gospel music is confined most of the time to the four walls.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there were certain, like, I remember when we'd go to, if a church invites us to perform, we had certain routines we'd pick,
mm-hmm.
you know, which were sort of gospel songs. Mm-hmm. We were like, these would be accepted anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were others where it could have just been a plain beat, like an instrumental, or like, you know, this will reserve for that, this will reserve for that. Because I guess here in Africa, we're still conservative compared to the culture in the West. So that, I'm trying to figure out where I want to take this. But anyway, with your question, if he's to bring his old songs, and would I go for the thing? I don't think I would,
mm-hmm.
because the horn that is blowing
mm-hmm.
has changed.
Okay.
What do I mean? So if okay, this, it might be extreme, but it's lack of a better term. But if the vessel's corrupt,
yeah,
would you still want the wine to be poured out of there? You see,
mm-hmm. okay.
So I wouldn't purely because of that. Because one, they are leaders.
Yeah.
They must be above reproach.
Yes.
So I don't know. So I've got, maybe I'll have this in-depth field. Something might just pop off and he'll start, you know, and have my mom-in-law there, bro.
Yeah.
Like, where do I look?
Yeah.
You know, you know, so.
It's like that time when you go to, you take a friend to church for the first time and something funky happens on stage.
Exactly, right.
And you're like, oh, snap, man, snap.
This is not what.
Today, you didn't have to do that today.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but I totally understand you. I remember years ago, a mentor / producer of ours, Andrew, used to always say to us, Heaven's Languages, like, I admire the stuff that you guys do because you can literally pack a sermon through your songs because you're rapping. So you can say much more than any other genre.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, so you guys are literally preachers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it stuck with us. You know what I mean? It was like, that's such a responsibility. You get what I mean? So for me, if I am going to be that kind of vessel, like you said, if I am corrupt, then what's coming out of me has some sort of corruption in it. And we all know that as your minister, if you are in sin, you kind of have to step back and get, you know, for lack of a better word, cleansed or sanctified before you can go back. Like if you have a scandal as a minister of the word and whatever, preacher, whatever, you step down. Because there's no way that you can continue
doing that
in that space until you come back to a place where you are restored.
You know what? That's a very interesting point, because it's kind of crazy that that doesn't happen in the music industry.
Yes.
No. You can trip up. You can be all over the place.
Yeah. Except if you're the truth.
Except if you're the truth. Man, I'm still a follower. Exactly. The truth in terms of his music. I commented on a post of his and replied.
Because he stepped back. He only came back when he felt like...
He was very, very serious. Yeah. So it's crazy that artists can have dramatic falls. And we just... look, it's great that we welcome them back, but there's not even a misstep. There's not even a beat between what happened and when they're back. Yeah. It's like, guys, just forget that happened. Let's keep on moving. We don't know if they've repented. We don't know if they've changed in themselves. We don't know if they've let that go. And I think that because of that lack of pause, what you're talking about, fame creeping in and so on, becomes more pronounced. And then that weird blurry line between gospel being, between gospel music being just good music and Christian music begins to happen. It's just, they're saying good things. But they are no longer in that per se. I don't know. But I think that's what begins to happen. They never take a pause. Yeah. So... it is kind of remarkable that I've never heard of Kirk Franklin stepping back. Maybe he has. Maybe he's taking breaks. I don't know.
Maybe in private.
Maybe.
I don't know. And then, of course, this leads us to the BET performance.
Yeah.
Which I think was also one of the things that caused quite a stir. If you guys know, the Maverick City and Kirk Franklin did a song with Will Smith.
Will Smith,
And the imagery is quite interesting because they're in a ring of fire and... then the color scheme that's there, it's just, it almost resembled hell in a sense, right? But then, you know, from an artistic point of view, I'm sure somebody would say, no, it was just all an artistic presentation, whatever. I'm sure it was. But for me, looking at it again, we're speaking about being above reproach and being more circumspect. Then I thought, but guys, if you already have so much that's being said about you, is this the best time? Just before your Kingdom World Tour, is this the best time to do a performance like that? I don't know. You know, with Will Smith, of course, the song is not a Christian song. They did not say it was a Christian song.
Yeah.
But even then, I'm thinking, and then they had Kanye West's choir. What's that choir called? The Sunday service, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? The song is actually quite dope. I'll be honest. I don't want to hate.
Yeah.
The song is actually quite nice, quite catchy. The lyrics are good as an inspirational kind of song.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, but... is this the best, is this the wisest thing for you to be doing right now?
That was a very, very good example of the whole not being above reproach. Because I went back and I looked at the lyrics of that song. I was like, okay, fine. Listen, I'm not just going to bite the hype.
Yeah.
Let me see. Mm-hmm. Let me break down the lyrics, see what was actually said. And you're right. It is a good song about good things. And the imagery was intentional. That definitely was like going through the fires of hell, more in the social statement version of that, like we all go through hell type kind of statement.
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, fine. It was clear. Then I thought, okay, maybe Kirk is going to come on and he's going to make it beyond reproach and say the God bit. Because it's okay if you depict hell.
Yes.
Then you come out and say, but Jesus brings you through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he says the thing.
Yeah.
But he didn't say the thing.
Yeah.
He didn't. It was left ambiguous enough to be any God you might really be referring to.
Mm.
It was just, it was all vague. There was room for vagueness. And I think that was the whole being beyond reproach. And that speaks into what you're saying about a pattern.
Yeah.
Where if he was Kirk from 30 years ago, no. Like he would have come and said it. He would have said that, people here are going to be mad at me, but he's going to say it.
Yeah, your impersonation.
Do the thing, man. But today, he's just saying, you know, when you're going through it, yeah. you go through it. Oh, who are you talking about?
go through what?
He's keeping it. It's vague.
So I think that's a very, very good point that you brought up there. That the danger, that the risk that we run, especially in the world we're living in today, as Christians, is the desire to fit in.
Yeah,
we want to fit in. We want to don't upset the apple cart too much.
Yeah,
and so we become ambiguous. We become, you know, we don't want to. Because Jesus upsets people.
Yeah.
The moment you bring Jesus into the picture, people are going to get upset. So, you know, don't upset, because there's the gay people there.
Yeah.
And there are trans yeah. people there. There are people who believe other things. So, you know what? Don't say too much.
Yeah.
But then I'm saying, but as a Christian, if you're not prepared to do that, why are you even there? Because after that, I'm just thinking, after somebody's heard you sing,
yeah.
are they going to be like, hey, guys, you know what? I want to get to know your God.
Yeah.
Or are they going to be like, that was such a great performance. Why do these Christians hate on you guys? You guys are so good. You guys. So I think this is the risk that we, and this applies to all of us in our various occupations and things that we do, to say, to what degree are we compromising
mm-hmm.
so that we don't upset people,
mm-hmm.
so that we fit in, right? So we start having certain conversations we ought not to be having. We start going to certain places that we ought not to be going. And I think that's where we run the risk. I'm going to read a quick scripture. Then somebody else can just say whatever they want to say. This is James chapter 3,
mm-hmm.
from verse 13. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom."
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. I think of the amount of division mm-hmm. that I've seen over this thing, especially yeah. in Zim, but across the board, because even in England and SA as well, this thing has been happening. So I'm thinking, how does one group cause so much division? Like I was saying earlier, that people were cussing at each other in the comment yeah. sections over this
yeah.
concert. Then I start thinking, guys, is it still about God?
Yeah.
Right? And then he goes on to say, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above,
mm.
but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic.
Yeah.
Right? For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure,
mm-hmm.
then peaceable,
mm-hmm.
gentle,
mm-hmm.
open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. So you see, the Bible is giving us this picture.
Yes, I love that. Yeah.
That if something is of God,
mm-hmm.
there are certain things that are going to come.
That are going to come out
with it.
Yeah.
And so there's a way that we can actually measure to say, ah, I may not understand the life that Kirk Franklin lives, or Chandler Moore, or any of those guys. It's not my place to judge them. In that way, God knows their hearts,
mm.
but I can judge their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I can judge the things that I see and be like, gentlemen mm. and ladies, this something is not adding up
here, yeah.
you know? And I would have expected even them to make a statement to say, hey guys, we're one body, we're one church.
Yes.
Don't all these divisions that we're having, this is about Christ.
Yeah.
I was expecting to hear that sort of thing from at least one of them,
mm.
but I
Yeah. True. I love that.
You know,
I love that.
One scripture which for me has stuck with me in the recent months, even weeks, is, you know, scripture does say, out of the abundance of the heart,
yeah.
the mouth speaks. So literally you are the reflection
mm-hmm.
of what is in your heart.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So when I see those things, dude, some things I don't even need to take another Christian to ask, does that look right? You know, even based on the standards of society
mm, yeah.
they can tell you, look,
yeah.
this I'm not,
exactly.
you know. And worse off here in Africa, where I still feel we're still closer to the roots
yeah.
than, you know, the Western yeah. culture. It's something that, so, for example, I think, I don't know who brought up children. It was you. Yeah. Would I take my son to that?
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, because I feel like I'm exposing him,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the abundance of their hearts.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yo,
wow.
You yeah. see,
that's yeah. deep.
You know, yeah. and something I wanted to mention, I think both of you mentioned the issue of good lyrics. one of the, it's not supposed to be a problem, but one of the biggest problems we face as Christians is talented people.
Yeah.
Why? Because there is no room. Most of the time, the people do not operate and leave room for God.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a good songwriter, I will write the best lyrics that have no God in them.
Mm-hmm.
Not me saying, mentioning God,
mm-hmm.
but they are not spirit led.
Led, yeah.
I tell you, my guy, like, I know there are some times where, while performing, there are some routines where we are like, hey, this has no God in it. Yeah. Now you look back.
Yeah.
People loved them. People would go crazy. But you're like, I mean, it's only now, you know, in hindsight, you know, yeah. What's that?
I was like, this move, Nanti Chaga Cloud.
Exactly. You know,
yeah. I feel you, dog. I feel you, dog.
Yeah. And it's because you, what you need, whether talented or, in quotes, not talented, there always has to be room for God. You don't need to whine and grind for the Holy Spirit to move.
Yeah. Mm.
If what you're singing and you're a singer has God in it, my guy, what are we doing? We're not.
Yeah.
He's the one who goes and fights the battles for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, that scripture, you know, these false prophets, they're like sheep, like wolves in sheep's clothing. So they're never going to come out looking like wolves. So it's going to, I like the term that you use, good. It's going to look or appear like it's good. Now, I'm not saying Kirk and Maverick are wolves in sheep's clothing, but I'm just saying not everything that, because that's the argument some people are saying, but their music has been powerful, it's helped me and whatever, or there's nothing wrong with that song, the lyrics are good, there's no swearing. Yes, it appears good, but what's the spirit behind it?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the enemy's tactics.
Mm.
He comes, he appears as a sheep, but he's actually a wolf.
Mm.
That's good.
Two thoughts. One that popped into my mind based on what you're saying, that I'm just going to share because it's a silly thought. And the other, more in line with what you're saying. Silly thought, number one.
Yeah.
I was a big Will Smith fan.
Yes.
Growing up, south of Philly. No, growing up, right? I was surrounded by lots of people who loved the then up-and-coming hip-hop.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, Bone Thugs and Harmony. Yeah. There was a lot of...
That was me there, man.
Diddy, if I can mention him now. There was a lot of...
Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy.
Brother Love now. Brother Love.
There was a lot of, B.I.G., a lot of stuff. And there was nothing for us boys who were church boys.
Yeah.
We were sacristans trying to do the right thing. What? Yeah. Then there was Will Smith. Who was
never,
clean.
Never didn't, cast.
Yeah. Didn't getting jiggy with it.
Getting jiggy with it. You know, we didn't know what he was saying.
Yeah. But he never cast.
He didn't cast. You know, it was.
You could play that song with play in front of your parents. Anyway.
You know, na-na-na-na-na.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was good music.
Yeah.
And I remember when I listened to Millennium. Yes, I got to the point of buying albums.
Yeah, I had.
So
Millennium.
When I got Millennium,
and Big Willie style.
Big Willie style. That name, though. Anyway, yeah.
This guy, he's always been. So when I think about it, I remember sitting and thinking about it, that this thing is good, but there's no, he hasn't said God. Because exactly. Up until that point, I assumed he didn't swear because he was a believer.
Yeah.
Right.
But then I realized none of his songs said anything at any point. And I was like, some funny stuff going on here. Anyway, that's a silly thing. Then what you're saying about talent, as an artist, but different side of it, it's so true. Your talent becomes your God. Mm-hmm. It's very easy for your talent to become your God because you can, in my case, draw something that can be so cool, so awesome, but it's no longer bringing anyone any closer to God or anything. Yeah. It's because I really wanted to draw that amazing scene. And I wanted people to say, wow, did you see how amazingly he rendered that picture?
Yeah.
It's no longer, did you see how God worked through him to create that artwork or to do those moves or to sing that song? Mm. You leave thinking of Kirk, not of any of the words that he said. And yeah, that is incredibly dangerous. That it gets to your head quick, because God can stop you and say, right, I know you studied perspective for 500 years and that you know how to use Photoshop and everything, and you bought all the plugins and everything. I want you to draw a stick figure.
Yeah.
Like, no, but Lord, no, I want you to draw a stick figure. Yeah. For a comic book of stick figures about Jesus. And like, no, but Lord, I can draw like the six temple type items here for this. Yeah. You know, no. Stick figure.
Yeah, that's good.
That's because good. I love my talent so much and I want to show it so much that I'm now following it rather than than God.
That's
so
such a good
that trap
analogy.
Is hard to dodge.
But isn't that crazy? I love that, because if we look throughout the Bible, the people that God used, many times it was God asking them to draw stick figures when they knew how to do otherwise. So it was God saying, okay, Elijah, you think I'm going to come in the wind or in the fire, but it's going to be the still small voice.
Yeah.
It's the most unlikely thing.
Yeah.
Or David, right? The slingshot.
Yeah.
You know, and Saul tries to give him his armor, but God is like, no, he's like, no, just that use thing. That's what I'm going to use. And so talent does do that to us, you know, and I think it's important for all of us as believers to realize that, yes, some are more talented than others, but the way we look at talented people, we must be careful, because the fact that somebody is talented doesn't always mean they're anointed. The fact that somebody's talented doesn't always mean that they're anointed. Somebody can have a great voice and they'll sing and they can hit notes and do runs. Somebody can, and I think all of us are creatives in one way or another here. Yes. And you can be amazing at your craft and even be doing things in the name of God, but have no God in it. You're still doing nonsense. You're not in his word. You're not walking with him. You're not under any form of discipline or discipleship. You know, you're just doing your thing. You're probably sleeping with your girlfriend. You see what I'm trying to say? And I think this is the problem with talent, that, and I'm just going to say this as a side note, particularly about Maverick City, since we're talking about them, but I think this applies to many other peeps as well. I was talking to a pastor that I know who was just explaining that in the States, one of the things that's happened with, especially with Maverick City, is the division that they've caused in a lot of church circles, because a lot of churches don't want them to come anymore, because they won't bring themselves under discipline. Under I actually know a particular lady, well, not personally, but she's about 2 degrees of separation from somebody that I know, who left a church. She was part of Maverick City, who left a church under not so great circumstances, went to another church, left again. But it's like, what this pastor friend was saying is that there's been this pattern that you see in the people who are part of the part of the team, maybe not all of them, but a big number of them, where they will not bring themselves under the covering of a pastor or a leader or a church in that way. And I remember being told this at the early, when we're starting to get into the music game, when we're starting to get into the whole, you know, Christian worship music space, just the importance of being under leadership, the importance of being under discipleship, that no matter how talented you are, you must still be part of a body of believers. You must still have brothers and sisters whom you're accountable to.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, what this pastor friend was saying was that one of the things that they've actually seen as a pattern in the States where these guys are concerned is a lack of that. So he was actually using that to say, don't let these zones come to your country, basically. So I'm saying that I think one of the measuring sticks that we should use as believers, like I'm saying, this is not to pick on Maverick or Kirk Franklin, but this is just to even measure even the artists that we love to listen to say, is this person really serving God the way they're supposed to?
Mm-hmm.
Is this person walking with God in that? Mm-hmm. Is there accountability? Is there a track record of serving in the body? Mm-hmm. Are they serving in a church?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a pastor? Because these are things that matter. And if you find that somebody is without those things and they're just running on their own, usually
red flags, yeah.
Those are red flags. That should also, usually you will see that in their private life, there are also a lot of things that are not, that are not proper.
Yeah.
Because those things walk hand, because the Bible does talk about the community. It talks about being part of the fellowshipping together with the brethren. So I think it's important for us to not just be moved by the nice lyrics, the nice music, or the big numbers, but to also look at the people we listen to. This applies to, I think, to preachers and stuff as well, to say, is this sound doctrine that they're preaching?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Can they be corrected? That's one of the most important things. At the moment somebody cannot be corrected, I think there's a problem there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the fundamental takeaways from all of this is just that, and we began with it really, that it is preaching. And as long as you look at it from that lens, it's, the answers kind of fall into place, that it's not singing. They are preaching, whoever it is. So can that preaching line up with everything else?
Yep.
Yeah. So I guess for our listeners, what they really want to know, because this episode came by request, people inboxing, why is Radiant Culture silent about this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So this is for you, for everybody who came in the inbox. They want to know, okay, what is your guys' advice, opinion, or stance? Do you recommend your listeners? Because I'm my pastor.
can I say?
Do you? What would you recommend,
Pastor Monster,
for the audiences? Pastor Monster. For the audiences, should they go to this concert? Should they listen to these artists' music?
Phew.
Those are the two questions they have.
Can I say an aside to that?
Yeah.
Just a quick one. I thought I'd bring it up in conversation whilst I'm fighting for the opposition, just to make it spicy. But one of the things that bothered me a lot was when all of this happened, as all of this is happening, the people who would release statements, especially the governing bodies, the churches or whatever, did not give clear statements.
Yeah.
They did not say why. They would say, we are not... We do not support, we do not anoint, but they will not tell you
why.
They will not, there was, it's a protest with no teaching. And I don't think that makes sense. You can't have a protest with no teaching.
Yeah.
Tell us, as the random person, the new believer, the old believer, the curious person, why Kirk is bad, why Maverick is bad. Show me the gospel problem. Then I can decide. Don't just say, we're backing out.
Yeah.
It's not enough to just say, I'm backing out.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us the problem.
Tell us the
So
word.
Anyway, we can now answer.
That's a good point, Biscuit. That's a good point.
Yeah. So, what do y'all say? What would you advise our listeners? Should they go to the concert? Should they listen to these people's music? Because all these things have come out. We've clearly spelled out some inconsistent behavior, some fruit that's not consistent with the fruit of the Spirit. At the end of the day, should they be up in the Glamis Arena with these people? Because I feel like, well, I'll start with me. Music is such a powerful medium. Whether it's music or preaching or anything that's word-based, it gets to your heart, it gets to your soul, it plants seeds in you. And these guys singing crafty stuff, I haven't gone through all their lyrics, I can't say. But they have questionable behavior, so you're wondering what other spirit is at operation. So I would be cautious. That's my stance. I would be cautious. Pray about it. If you're still not feeling at peace, don't go.
Yeah.
But if you're like, hey, you know what? I feel at peace. There's nothing wrong with this. I feel I want to go. Then, yeah.
Yeah.
I would echo that. I would say, indeed, pray about it. If that small voice, you're not going to see a billboard saying, don't go to Maverick City, the collective of Christian Council oligarchs have said. You're not going to see that. it will be a small voice, probably, to tell you no. If you hear it, obey. And if you're not at peace about it, I would not go. I would just say, give this one a miss. Give it a miss.
No. Sure. Okay. Personally, I mean, I still wasn't gonna go. I mean, because again, like I mentioned at the beginning, Maverick City were not neither here or there for me. I would say, should you go? I think the fact that we're here having this conversation, the fact that they're asking, should raise concerns. Mm-hmm. Why? Because one of the things I was thinking about was, but where Jesus went, he created commotion, you know, because he was bringing something new. Mm. But where God is, there's life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not giving me life in any way from what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Where God is, there's love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing it. You know, I'm seeing more commotion than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say question, mm-hmm. like pause for a minute, especially if you're someone who was like, yeah, I'm going this. Mm-hmm. I don't care. just pause for a moment. That would be my take. Oh, and lastly, the last thing I say is King Saul was king for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
David, before he became king, was anointed for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So for only 7 years was king actually Saul, king of Israel.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
But the rest, he was in a position that the anointing had lifted.
Yeah, it actually said, yeah, the Spirit of God.
Of God lifted him.
Mm-hmm. That scripture scares me, man.
Yeah.
Aye.
Yeah.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
so I would also say, just to add to what these gentlemen are saying, that, you know, the Bible says that for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God.
Mm.
We have to be careful as Christians about what we use as our forms of entertainment. And let me explain what I mean. The Bible says, Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, mm-hmm. I thought as a child. He says, when I became a man, I put childish things behind me.
Yeah.
I believe that as you grow as a Christian, there's certain things that you're okay with. You're like, that doesn't matter, man. It's just a song.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, this guy is just gyrating on stage. Mm-hmm. Big deal. I think when you're younger, those things don't matter as much. But I think as we get older in the faith, in our walk with the Lord, there's a certain expectation that comes with, that you no longer just take things at face value. You're now also doing deeper analyses of things to say, does this line up with scripture?
Yeah.
And so I would say we've read the scripture, some of the scriptures that talk about this, that talk about, you know, being above reproach, that talk about avoiding the appearance of evil. And when you start to see that the people that you follow aren't really living lives that are consistent with what scripture endorses, then I think we need to be careful there. We need to look and question to say, what's the issue here? Where's the mismatch? Why is there a mismatch? So if I've got a friend who said he's going to attend the Maverick City thing just as a concert, the same way he would attend a Chris Brown concert. That's what
right.
he said. So I've got people who said that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty. Maybe it's going to be an amazing night of worship.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. And it's not for me to judge. But I think the most, for me, I would say, I would not encourage people to go.
Mm.
I would not say I rubber stamp this, go for this, because it's going to be amazing. Simply because I have not seen the consistency of the fruit in the guys that are coming. Mm. Now, if you as a person feel like, hey, I still want to go, I'm sure that's fine. I don't think, you know, the Lord, you're going to lose your salvation because you've gone. But I would say be be careful, be more circumspect. And I think the reason for us even having this discussion is so that we can also just get people thinking. You know, and this doesn't just apply to Maverick City, by the way. This applies to everything.
Everything, yeah.
This applies to the next big artist who's going to come.
Yeah.
This applies to that movie that you're going to watch. This applies to... it just applies to everything. That church thing that you want to go to. Yeah. To say, maybe it's that preacher that you love to listen to. Yeah. Is this consistent with scripture? The last thing I'm going to say is... You know, the Bible talks about how the last days are going to be full of deception.
Yes.
Yeah.
The funny thing is we think deception is going to be, you know, we're going to be seeing the devil walking around with two horns and a tail. That's, you know, in our minds we think, deception. But the truth is that if we don't care about scripture, what scripture says right now, if we're not thinking about when somebody's preaching, if we're not saying, is this own speaking the truth? If we're not being Bereans, right now, do you think that when the time comes for the Antichrist, we're then all of a sudden going to know that this is the Antichrist? So I think it starts now. So I think in in the small things, we have to be thinking, no, I care so much about what God cares about that I'm gonna keep my hands pure. I'm gonna keep my heart pure. I'm gonna be more circumspect about what I'm listening to, because it's a progression. If you can be deceived about the music you listen to, chances are you're going to be deceived about the mark of the beast as well.
Yeah.
You get me? It's not going to, it's not just going to happen all of a sudden. It's the slow, gradual thing where we allow the small deceptions, the small things. And I think that's how the enemy is going to capture a lot of people. Now, I'm not saying this to sound, you know, this is not a talk on eschatology or to sound like, you know, spooky spiritual. But it's me just saying all of us have to up our game in terms of our sensitivity to what God is saying, what God is doing, but also our sensitivity to scripture and what it says. You'd rather err on the side of scripture.
Yes.
When you're not sure.
Sure. So,
Anyway, that would be my
final thing is that for all those that think you're gonna be initiated into some satanic sect, that's a bunch of rubbish. Even if they're gonna do an initiation, if it's not a willing If you're not a willing participant, you're not being initiated.
Yeah.
So don't even worry about
that. Be careful about these prophets.
Yeah.
There are a lot of these YouTube and TikTok prophets who just talk things.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about false prophets, guys.
Yeah.
Already, like I'm saying, there's this particular woman. I don't know what her name is.
I've seen that.
If half of your prophecies have already not happened, how are you a true prophet?
Yeah.
She said a bunch of stuff that has not happened.
Yeah.
So for me already, because these things are clear, guys. It's not, you can't keep saying these things with, hey, this is going to happen, then it doesn't happen. Then all of a sudden you're a prophet. We also need to be careful about that. Yeah. Maybe that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right. It's been real. It's been good. Right. Thank you, gentlemen. I think we're gonna end it here.
Yeah.
God bless. Keep in touch.
Yeah.
Peace.
Lead us.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot, it's fresh, it's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.